Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Children of the sun, see your time has just begun, searching for your ways through adventures every day. For the cities of gold, I wish you for the cities of gold.
This is a wrestling podcast, believe it or not. It's not a podcast just about drug-raged badgers.
And it's bad that you have to explain that.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to Chain Wrestling with Mags and Soy, wherever and whenever you may be listening. I am the kind of upbeat and chirpy today, Soy. I don't know why that is, but I've had a little bit extra sleep than normal, I'm not too sure, but I'm feeling in a very good mood. And with me, as always, he is the Colonel Robert Parker to my Colonel Sanders. He is the Dr. Tom Pritchard to my Dr. Pepper. Yep. That's right. I'm going with fast food references today. Stick with it. It's good. A podcaster who says you're wrong, USWA announcer Michael St. John. All the hottest action doesn't come from the Sportatorium. It comes from his website, buffburnleyblokes.com. Check it out, people. It's the podfather himself, Mr. Mags. How are we doing today, my friend?
I'm actually going to check if Buff Burnley... Guys from Burnley, is it an actual website? you'll be shocked if it is. I'm doing really well. It's like a bittersweet day today for me. It's been good because for long-term listeners of the show, you'll know that I'm entering the world of being a whiskey connoisseur. Yep. I think I'm classy, and I think I bring an air of je ne sais quoi to this show. So yeah, my delivery of whiskies from around the world arrived today, so got plenty to go out there, but yeah, also it was the final episode of Badlands dropping today a few days late because of our scheduling issues and stuff like that. But yeah, the nail is finally in that coffin. I mean, people in the know, like yourself, Simon, have understood that this is has been done for a while, but with recording way in advance and scheduling of episodes, yeah, today was the last episode, so yeah, a little bit sad.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to the episode that came out today, this morning, and I'll be honest with you, it kind of pulled my heartstrings a bit, to be fair, because I really liked Badlands. I thought what you and Tolly did for that show was fantastic. The subject, the topics, the way it was structured, everything about it, I really, really enjoyed that show. And it was the first podcast I actually went on as a guest, that, and it kind of made me think, well, perhaps I could have a go at this myself. And then via that is how you and me got talking, and you were incredibly supportive in getting me going in the sort of, I don't know how you were in a podcast world, I guess. I probably wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for going on Badlands to just talk about, you know, my initial sort of stepping into the wrestling content creating world when I was writing articles and so on. So I feel that I owe Badlands podcast and Tolly and yourself for creating that and inviting me on a big thank you as well, because I don't think I would have got started at all. And that's not a story I think that is unique to just me. I think there's plenty of people who went on Badlands with yourself and Paul, and also Why We Watch as well, another great show that you did, Mags, that started people off. And I think it also links these shows link the community together as well, I feel. I mean, I started following people on Twitter because they were guests on your show that I'd listened to. And I talk to these people now online that I probably wouldn't be aware of if it wasn't for your show sort of making those links and everything. So from my personal standpoint, not just as, I suppose, your chain wrestling co-host, or not just as a former guest on Badlands or whatever, as someone who's become a friend of yours through what we do, I want to say thank you to you and Paul for that show and all the hours and hours and hours of entertainment it gave me, and the hours and hours of entertainment it gave everybody else who listened. So, you know, to you guys, just thank you for everything with Badlands.
You are absolutely more than welcome, and the thanks should be extended to everybody who has ever been on the show, everyone who's ever listened to the show, all the feedback, good and negative, because that's what made the show what it was. We were never in the numbers game. We were never wanting to be the biggest stars in the podcasting world. It was never about the clout or about the kind of adulation. It was about just having fun talking about this stupid fake sport that we all love so much. And I think we achieved that. We had a lot of fun. And to your point about guests catching the bug and going out there and creating for themselves, that's, for me, that's one of the most heartwarming things that Badlands ever did, and Why We Watch ever did it. If I in any small way played a part in people catching this content creating bug and getting their own voice out there and doing something that they absolutely love, I'm all the happier for it. It's a shame how the show had to end, but the thing is, it stuff like this happens every day. Podcasts drop by the wayside by the day. I mean, I think I read a statistic that most podcasts won't get past episode 10. Well, we did way over 100. We crossed multiple networks, and we formed a listener base that still blows my mind today. I've always thought that I'm a clown from the north of England, and I was talking to a moron who pretended to be from Wales. So to have that kind of that support and that love it's been mind blowing today. But like I said, the situation in wrestling kind of really disheartened Paul, and we always had this agreement where if one of us wasn't feeling the show anymore and we kind of wanted to step away, that we both would step away, because it was our show from the beginning, and it just wouldn't have felt right to take it on solo or to have another another co-host, because it was our baby at the end of the day. But yeah, I'll have a lot of great memories from that show, made a lot of great friendships from the show. I mean, yourself included, we wouldn't be doing this show right now if you didn't agree to come on Badlands and Why We Watch. So exactly. I'm eternally grateful for stuff like that. And yeah, you know me, I won't be able to stay out of the content creating kind of bubble for long. I'll have my fat little fingers in some pie before long.
And those images of you fingering a pie will be available on buffburnleyblokes.com, no doubt. I mean, my week, Mags, is same old, really. I got my part-time job I'm still doing, thankfully. I was a bit poorly the one day, but nothing major. Charlie's been off school today. She's been a bit poorly, you know, but yeah, we're doing okay, mate. I watched Justice League the other day with a wife.
Okay.
It's like a new cut. You have to bear with me. I don't watch any Marvel, DC or anything. I know nothing about any of that. I literally sat and watched it because the wife wanted to watch it and she was going to watch it on her own. I thought, I'll sit down and watch it with you. It's this new Zach something or other cut, you know, like an extended version.
Schneider.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I've never seen any of these films before, but I thought I'll sit down with the missus and I'll watch it. Like, cause she's, you know, massively into that. So that's her thing. Like she watches enough crappy wrestling with me. So I thought it was only fair, you know? Bloody thing's 4 hours long, Max.
Daddy, yeah, I believe so.
You know, I brought it up on the box, press play, and it said 4 hours, 50 minutes, or whatever in the corner. And I was like, I don't want to say nothing because obviously we sit and watch wrestling pay-per-views that are hours and hours long. But I'm sort of looking at the clock in the corner, and I'm thinking, fucking hell, it's going to be dark by the time this is finished. You know, so, have you seen it?
I haven't, and it's because I got so disillusioned with comic book movies. Because there were so many coming at you from all angles. I watched like Suicide Squad, watched Deadpool, but I just with the plethora of Marvel movies coming out, and then DC trying to kind of follow the lead. And no disrespect to anyone who's a huge fan of them, you do you, but I just got kind of bored of comic book movies. So I didn't see the original cut. I didn't see this cut. It's on the kind of like I might look it up kind of list, because I recently watched the Mortal Kombat one, and that kind of like maybe dragged me back into that style of movie. But no, I've not actually seen this one.
See, I don't watch a lot of films in general, to be fair. So the fact that I'm watching a film at all is quite a surprise, because if I got spare time, I got certain TV programs I try and work my way through, or there's always wrestling I want to be watching, whether it's for my own, you know, own enjoyment, or for this show, or for you know, I got to watch Insurrection tomorrow for a recording I'm doing for SJP with David Eaton, and all. There's always something I need to be watching wrestling wise. But no, I sat down, I watched the I watched this film with the wife. I thought visually it's amazing. It looks great. Mm-hmm. You know, all the sweeping camera angles, and it's incredible. But I mean, don't get me wrong, 4 hours was a bit of a slog. The last hour I was thinking, is this the end now? Is this the end now? Is this the end now? Because it seems like after every fight scene, that was kind of it. And then something else would happen. I'd be like, okay, well, is this the end now? It's almost like it had, like, you know, loads of false finishes, like the Steamboat Savage match at WrestleMania 3 or whatever, you know? And also, Superman's a bit of a dick. Okay, I know people like, I know he's like a hero, and everyone, you know, he's the good guy and all that. But he's a bit smarmy, isn't he? Have you seen this fella playing Superman?
Yeah, is it Henry Cavill?
I don't know. He's just like, I mean, Superman is a certain way, isn't he? He's got the black hair, the sort of chiseled jaw, and you know, proper all American, you know, features and all that sort of stuff. But he just came across like a smarmy dick. You know, and there's one moment in the film, I'm not going to go into it too much, I don't want to give away any spoilers to yourself, Mags, or anyone else who hasn't seen it, but there's one moment in the film where basically Superman's acting up because he's, you know, he's been killed off in another movie and whatnot, and then brought back and all this sort of stuff. He's acting up a bit because he's been brought back from the dead, and you know, I'm guessing that plays with your head a little bit. I imagine. I mean, you watch Pet Sematary; they don't come back, right? Do they? You know what I mean? So,
I don't know if that's the look they were going for, but yeah.
Right. So at one stage, everyone else, you know, Aquaman, who by the way needs to get some kind of tank top sponsorship from Primark or something like that. The amount of t-shirts he goes through in that movie is ridiculous. He might as well just stay topless for the whole film. Okay? Stop taking your shirt off and throwing it away, because you're just costing yourself money, pal. You know, you must throw away 50 t-shirts in the space of this movie, right? But Aquaman, and the others, there's the Flash as well. He was quite a funny little chap, and he cracked me up a bit. And Wonder Woman, I'll tell you what, 4 hours of looking at Wonder Woman, I didn't object to, mind. Wonder Woman, she's a bit of a sort, isn't she? Fair play.
Wow.
Wonder Woman and all that. They're all fighting these flying cricket monster jobbies. And they keep getting their asses kicked. Superman, whilst all this is going on, they've gone to the effort of bringing him back to life, right? He stood off in a fucking cornfield, just staring at the sun and stuff like this. And then he has a little chat with some of his family, and he's like proper dragging his heels about going to help him and stuff. And then when he arrives, obviously being Superman, he does what Superman does. He saves the day.
That sounds a lot like an allegory for the US in World War II.
Well, potentially, yeah, I suppose. That's a good historic reference there, Max. Well done. I mean, it shows who's the brains in this operation, doesn't it? When I'm likening Superman's resurrection to Pet Sematary and describing Wonder Woman as a bit of a sort, and you're making a historical reference to World War II, it's... but yeah, he eventually turns up and does what he does and all that. And like everyone's like, oh, Superman, you're amazing. And I'm looking at the others, and I'm thinking, for 3 hours or so, they've been fighting these cricket bastards on their own. And now they're thanking this dude who's just turned up. And like, it's effectively like, you know, a guy playing football. The rest of the team run their socks off, get the ball up to the goal line, and this fucker turns up and just like rolls it in over the last inch and claims all the glory for himself.
Yeah.
I was a bit like, you smarmy bastard, you smarmy caped bastard, you know? I didn't like Superman's a bit of a dick, I think.
So from that, I'm suggesting that you don't think America saved the day in World War II, and you just think that the Americans are a bunch of smarmy bastards. Is that what I'm hearing?
Not all Americans.
Not all Americans, wow.
Not all Americans. I mean, I don't know loads and loads of Americans, but the Americans I do know, most of them are sane. I mean, we've got Americans who listen to this show, that they all come across as non-swarmy. I doubt any of them wear capes, I don't know. But it's...
this sounds like Simon's "you people" comment.
I'm going to get cancelled, aren't I? Oh, dear. Shall we have a little look at some of these friends of ours that may or may not wear capes, Mags, and have a look at the things they've been sending us this week?
Let's do that.
Okie doke. This week, we asked for your favourite memories or program, or memories of kids' TV programs, your favourite TV shows from when you were younger, whether it was really obscure cartoons that you watched over and over again, or the more 80s, I suppose the term now is live action, isn't it, as opposed to animated, sort of programs like The A-Team or Knight Rider or wherever or whatever. We had an absolutely storming amount of responses, Max. It was incredible.
Good job. We've only got a 10-minute wrestling match to talk about, because this is definitely going to be the filler for the episode, guys.
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely. If you don't want to hear about Battlestar Galactica, turn off now. Right? Actually, nobody brought up Battlestar Galactica, which makes me a bit sad. But there we go. Yeah, there were mentions of cartoons that I totally forgot existed. But as soon as they were mentioned on the Twitter timeline, @chain_wrestling, I had the Fiend tune stuck in my head and it wouldn't go away all day and all that sort of stuff, you know? So it was a real brilliant trip down memory lane. I've got quite a few here, and I'll do as I normally do, Magsy. I'll run through them in the order they arrived to us. Occasionally, people have sent us lists. I'll just nail through those as quickly as I can, and then see if we can remember any ourselves, or if we agree that they were brilliant, or if we hated them, or whatever, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay. Straight off the bat, our good friend Dan Griffin, @DanGriffin21. Biker Mice from Mars. Do you remember that?
Vaguely. It wasn't a show that I was particularly bothered about, but I do remember him being like Green Mass, like rockers style on motorbikes, essentially. But yeah, it's not one I was a huge fan of.
Now, I remember Biker Mice from Mars. He says here as well, Dan, thanks again, Dan, for messaging in, that he found an old action figure in his shed a couple of months ago. That sort of thing is great, isn't it, when you find like old toys of yours or whatever from back in the day, or if any have survived. I mean, I've only got literally a couple of bits and bobs from when I was a kid. Most of the stuff got handed down for other people and destroyed, but my little brother like trashed a lot of things that I had. But yeah, imagine finding the Biker Mice from Mars in the shed. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, some of my old wrestling figures have been handed down to my lads, and they absolutely love them. They will power them.
Yeah, that's it. My wrestling figures went from me to my kid brother, from my kid brother to my nephew, and then from my nephew to, where did they go after that? Oh, to my son, and then down to my youngest daughter now.
That's cool. And like a family heirloom.
Well, yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, they're in a bit of a state now, some of them. I mean, Macho Man Randy Savage is missing a couple of fingers and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, they're basically in a bag behind the sofa, because my daughter plays with all her AEW figures now. Mm-hmm. And I've shown her these old, you know, 1990 figures with, like, as we mentioned before, about Arn Anderson's ass being worn off and stuff like that. It's she's not really that interested. She's got her AEW figures that look all flashy and clever. The ones I've got don't really move, so they're nowhere near as cool, you know? At UTT Rob, the mysterious cities of gold. And he also had one of the best TV theme tunes of all time. Now, this is one of the ones, Mags, that I completely forgot existed. But as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, why?
It was, I don't even think I watched the end, so I can't remember how the show finishes, but I remember being an avid watcher of it every time it come on. That's a banging shout, Rob.
Yeah. And what I imagine will happen is we'll end up hearing some of these theme tunes to these cartoons at some point in this episode, even maybe as we're talking now, Mags. It depends how much effort I want to put in tomorrow. The Macho Beard, at Macho Beard for Life, he said that he loved Knight Rider, and he sent me a picture of the Knight Rider toy car he had. And it's a cool image. I mean, I'll retweet it so everyone can have a look when the episode comes out. Michael Knight stepping into the car doesn't look so cool. He looks a bit scary. He's a bit creepy looking there. This one, I do not remember at all. Will on Twitter, at Will Added Digits, Samurai Pizza Cats, and he says hardly anyone remembers it, but he's 100% sure his brain didn't make it up.
Will somebody please cue that voice?
Samurai Pizza Cats.
Oh yeah!
Who do you call when you want some pepperoni?
Samurai Pizza Cats.
Right on!
They're stepping out crime, and you know that ain't baloney. They're Speedy Cerviche, he's the leader of the bunch.
That's right!
A heck of a fighter.
It's ringing a bell for me. I didn't look it up afterwards, but I'm sure that had a snazzy theme tune as well. I very vaguely remember it. Again, it's not one that was massively in my rotation. I don't think it was on for that long as well. I might have to go back and kind of like look that one up.
I'm having a look now because I did actually Google this when he first tweeted in. 1990 Samurai Pizza Cats, one season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, three cybernetic cats who run a pizza parlor in Little Tokyo moonlight as heroes to protect the city from the power hungry rat Big Cheese.
Moonlight. Three cats run a pizza parlor to moonlight as superheroes. That just tells you everything about kids' TV shows that you need to know.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? They got to protect the city from the rat Big Cheese and his minions. Amazing.
Brilliant.
Seven Deadly One on Twitter. They've sent in a few images for us here. SWAT Cats, the Radical Squadron. I don't really know what that is.
Never heard of SWAT Cats. Was the Radical Squadron a second one? I've never.
No, that was like a sort of secondary title of SWAT Cats.
Nope, not one I've ever heard of.
No, nor me. I'm going to end up spending this evening watching old cartoons. I can just see this coming.
Yeah. It's what my YouTube playlist is going to be full of for the next few days.
Yeah, definitely. Oh man, Bucky O'Hare. Do you remember Bucky O'Hare?
The Rabbit. I certainly do. That's a good shout.
Dimension, another time and space. A parallel universe is falling on its face. When out of the chaos, who else could it be? Bucky Animal Adventurers from SPACE. Bucky! Captain Bucky O'Hare. Mutants and aliens and toads, beware. You're looking for adventure.
Yeah, Bucky O'Hare, that's amazing. Clive from Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show, at Ricky and Clive on Twitter. The Real Ghostbusters, and he says the Real Ghostbusters is greater than any turtle cartoon every day of the world.
That's a stretch. I would not. Yeah, the Real Ghostbusters is good, but the original Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, you can't top that.
I had, I think, was it Real Ghostbusters would be shown on like a Tuesday, and Turtles was on like a Wednesday or something like that. And it was like the highlight of my week, those two shows. I loved them. And I had the Turtles computer game on the old NES computer, you know, like the Nintendo before the Super Nintendo, if that makes sense, the sort of blocky grey one. Yeah, that was such a good game, man. I loved that so much. I'd play that now still, if I could get hold of it. Like, that was so good. Real Ghostbusters, though. That was
so good. Yeah. I'm surprised that Cloud didn't go for Super Gran.
Super Gran. Yeah. Bloody hell, Super Gran. I think that scared me for a little bit when I was really little. I think I was scared of her. But then as I got older, I started watching it, and it was all right.
She was a hard grandma.
Yeah, scary lady, scary lady. Five Nerds Go, at Five Nerds Go on Twitter. We have a bit of a list here. Funhouse, oh yeah, with the twins and the go-karts. Yeah. Fantastic. Pat Sharp. Yeah, yeah, I met Pat Sharp once, Mugs.
I bet that was fun.
It was, I was working in the car parks for a national car park company. I was trying my best not to name them then, but I've just given you the freaking name of the company, National Car Parks. That was it.
Literally the biggest car park company in Britain.
Yeah, the National Car Park Company as well. Yeah, and he was. I don't know if he was DJing at a radio station there, because a lot of the people from the radio station used the car park I was in. Mm-hmm. And they buzzed the thingy because there was a problem. I walked out and he wound his window down and went, "All right, mate, you let me out." And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And I let him out. And then afterwards, I was like, "Ah, oh, that was Pat Sharp." But yeah, that was it.
Did he still have the mullet though?
No, this is post mullet, mate. This is post mullet. This is
It's not as valuable a story then.
Nah, it's almost like a fake Pat Sharp, isn't it? Like the unmulleted Pat Sharp is an imposter.
Pat Blunt.
Yeah. Five Nerds Go continue with Rosie and Jim. Do you remember that, Mags?
I certainly do. Oh, chugging along on the old rag doll.
That's it, yeah. My sister used to watch that loads. 50-50, I don't know what that is.
That might be something that needs looking upon, but I don't remember it.
Nah. Tots TV. I thought that was a TV station as opposed to a show.
No, it was three little top puppets.
Was it? Oh, yeah. Did they have like the green hair and the pink hair and stuff like that?
One of them spoke French.
One of them spoke
French. I'm a top, je suis un top, teeny, tom, and tiny.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Oh, that was horrible. Get Your Own Back. That's when you used to like gunge the adults, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Was that Dave Benson Phillips?
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
I went on a Five Nerds Go episode quite a while ago now, and he was actually training to wrestle. I think he did a wrestling match.
I thought you were going to say you went on an episode of Five Nerds Go.
And he was on it.
And Dave Benson Phillips was actually training to be a guest.
we spent a long time actually on him, because one of the people on Five Nerds, I think it was Mark, he was talking about that training with Dave Benson Phillips. For his wrestling match, and I wrongly assumed it was the guy who used to say "awooga" a lot. Do you know
John Fashanu?
John Fashanu, yeah. So I was saying, "Did you get him to say awooga?" And they're all laughing. Like, so I thought, "Oh, I've done a funny here," but they were laughing at me because I was thinking he was someone totally different.
So you thought Dave Benson Phillips hosted Gladiators?
I did,
and played up front for FC Wimbledon in the '90s. Oh, Moomins. I remember the Moomins.
They're like the hippo looking monstrosities.
Yeah, really odd looking fucking white things, weren't they? Tweeners. I bloody hated the Tweeners.
Yeah, they're whoever came up with that show had too much LSD.
Round the Twist. Oh, that was amazing. I used to love Round the Twist. That had a banging theme tune. Do you remember that one?
Yep. Have you ever?
Ever felt like this?
It was the Australian one, weren't it? I'm sure it was.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Good show.
Miami 7, because Maggle loves S Club.
Is that one a show because of Is that an S Club 7 show? Like, based around the show? I mean, I don't know why he thinks I like S Club 7. I have no idea. Matt, I think you need to stay away from the crack. yeah, any shows like that, kind of like built around pop stars, didn't really bother me that much.
Bodger and Badger. Now, that was a good
one. I'd watch that today.
Yeah.
That's quality.
I looked, when I read that, I actually went online again and looked up Bodger and Badger to see how long it ran for, because I remember it being on when I was little, but I also remember it being on when my kid brother was little, and he's quite a bit younger than me. So I was sort of like, how long did this run for? And when I looked at that, mate, I realised that Bodger's dead.
What? Simon Bodger?
Yeah.
Wow.
He died a couple of years back from cancer.
And someone else has taken over the Bodger mantle?
No, it's just they don't make it no more.
Oh, what an absolute shame.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm bringing the mood down there.
Well, I just thought I'd share that horrific news for everyone, you know.
I mean, but I did not know, so that's sad. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, I didn't know either. And then
who's looking after Badger now then?
Well, this is how my mind works. I know Badger was obviously not a real Badger. I don't want to shatter any illusions to anyone there, okay?
I think it's the goggle is stuck on ours that give it away.
Yeah, yeah. But I did start looking at how long the Badgers live for and stuff. Just because I was curious then.
Oh, you absolute nerd.
No, a honey badger, Mags, can live for 24 years.
And they're not technically badgers, though, are they? They're more like crazy wild animals in badger form.
Yeah, okay. But in the UK, apparently, the average badger in the UK lives a maximum of 15 years, right? Now, Bodger and Badger ran for 10 years. That means this guy, this badger, he gave 2/3 of his life to entertaining us. I reckon that's
and he's had a good run. If he has passed away to the big badger hole in the sky.
Yeah.
Or set, is it a set? Badger den in the sky.
Okay. Well, how would that work? Because if it's a set or a den, you dig a hole for that, don't you?
I've no idea. Just where badgers live, but in heaven. The area of badger heaven.
I mean,
he might have been a wanker backstage. I mean, he was a twat on the show throwing mashed potato everywhere. So he might have gone to the depths of badger hell. Who knows?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, he did have a little bit of a rage thing going on, didn't he? Chucking stuff about and all that.
Yeah, he was a naughty little badger.
Mm. I reckon maybe he had some substance issues there, and he had, like, you know, issues going on with that. You know, you hear about these rock stars having anger problems and so on.
Maybe Simon Bodger sparked his mashed potatoes. You never know.
Oh man. Okay. This is Chey Wrestling.
That went in a very weird tangent.
This is a wrestling podcast, believe it or not. It's not a podcast just about drug-raged badgers.
And it's bad that you have to explain that.
Yeah. X-Men, the animated series.
That is a good show.
I've never seen it.
What? Oh, that's a cartoon for you to try and get your hands on. That was a good shout. Gambit in that was a brilliant character.
I imagine my wife's in it because she's mad on the X-Men and all that sort of stuff. So I'll have to look that up, yeah. Handy T1TF in the States messaging in saying that there was a show he really enjoyed when he was younger called Mulligan's Stew. I've looked that up, and that's a little bit before my time. I'm not sure if we got it over here, did we, Mags?
I have never. It's not even one that I can vaguely remember. So I've not heard of it.
I gather it was like a sort of family living together and the sort of issues
as families that families tend to do.
Yeah, mostly, yeah. Indeed. At Chad's_mind, a message here from Chad. He's got a few for us. SWAT Cats again, Radical Squadron. So that's the second suggestion of that, and I don't know what that is.
It's obviously one we need to be looking up.
That can be our research for this. In fact, let's not bother watching wrestling this week, Mags. We'll just go watch cover episodes of SWAT Cats and report back. Darkwing Duck, that doesn't ring a bell either.
Yeah, it was kind of in the same vein as DuckTales. I think it was okay. I think that there's an idiot character on DuckTales who's the pal. I think it's his kind of superhero character. I might be totally wrong. I wasn't a massive watcher of it, but I have heard of it.
So basically, it's what you think it might be, or you might be totally wrong. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. But I know of it. I'm just. Yeah. Just saying, I know I've heard of Darkwing Duck.
Okie doke. More shites for Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles or Ninja Turtles.
Hero Turtles over here in the UK, because ninja was a bad word
in
the early 90s.
It was. I mean, bearing in mind, in the early 90s, you had stuff like 9.5 Weeks and Basic Instinct on ITV, but we weren't allowed to say ninja, you know? New Adventures of Ghostbusters again. Angry Beavers, which I'm not 100% sure what that is, but I am intrigued. I'm not sure I'm going to type into Google, though.
And is that not like a game? On your phone?
Well, it's Angry Birds, isn't it?
Oh, right, okay.
Angry Birds, the game?
Yeah, I agree. Right, yeah, I know. I have seen this show. It's a very American style one. Not one of my favourites, but there we go.
Jelly Pickle J at Jelly Pickle J on Twitter. This is my childhood in 4 picks, and he again puts forward the Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, Thundercats. Oh,
yes! Bloody. What a shout!
Like the plastic sword that if you pressed a button, the red bit in the middle lit up.
Yes, same. I love that sword.
So cool. My son, on the topic of, you know, plastic swords, he's into his Star Wars and all that. And then again, he's got a part-time job, it's his money, whatever. He's turning around to me and going, we're going to this music festival, we need to save a bit of money and all this, that, the other. Dad, can you find me a decent tent that's cheap? I'm trying to save a few quid. And then he turns up here the other day to visit. He spent £120 on a plastic fucking sword from Star Wars.
Wow. I
mean, on a plastic sword.
To be fair, I've got a collection of replica swords, so I can see the appeal, but... Yeah, it needs to get his priorities straight. If he wants a tent, then surely the sword has to go by the wayside.
Wow, yeah. And then the bugger went back to his girlfriend's, which is where he's living at the moment, and left it here anyway, the prat. But there we go.
And you've been swinging it around pretending you're in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. That's how you press this button, it makes the noise, that zhong, zhong. No. It lights up, so you go out in the dark. I mean, I've got a field opposite my house. I'm just running around the field with this big plastic sword. Fantastic. It's brilliant. Off my tits on mashed potato, just running around with this plastic sword. MGB Graham. Dog Tanyan and the Three Musker Hounds.
Oh, woof, 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 woof. Musker Hounds are always ready. Woof, 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 yeah. Woof, 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 woof. Helping everybody. Yeah, that was a banging show.
That's great stuff. Ulysses 2149, or some year, he's put here in brackets. Don't know about that.
It's another one that kind of like, I vaguely remember it, so I think it's Ulysses 31.
Okay.
There was a blue girl in it. I remember that. Not one that I massively can say that I was that bothered about, but it was one that it was a cartoon in the mid 80s, so I would happily watch it.
There was a blue girl in it.
Yeah, they were like this.
Was she really rude, or actually just blue?
No, her skin was blue.
Right,
okay. A little girl. It was like a family that floating around in space, essentially.
Okay, one of them was blue.
Yeah, honestly, she genuinely had blue skin.
What we got here? Rent-A-Ghost.
Yeah, one that gets a lot of love, but it was not one that I was particularly bothered about.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I've seen like you know, like you have those countdowns of like all the favourite kids shows of the UK or whatever, and I've seen maybe a clip of it on there when other people are talking about how much they love it. But I don't know. When was Rent a Ghost out? Was it a bit before our time? Was it? Is Graham a touch older than us? I don't know.
Graham is a little bit older than us. Yeah, I think it was around my time.
You're not that much older than me.
It started in the late 70s and ended in like November 84, apparently. But yeah, it was never one that was on my radar, I suppose.
No, I don't really remember it. But again, you hear so many people talking about it, don't you?
Yeah.
Grange Hill, bloody hell.
Oh, wow. Just say no to drugs, people.
Yeah.
El Zamo will come round and chin you.
Oh man, have you seen the documentaries about getting them back together, all the actors and Grange Hill? Oh, that was quite good, because a lot of them hate each other.
I saw Zamo rocked up in EastEnders for a little while.
Oh, did he?
For a couple of episodes.
Or playing the same character?
Trying to shift some drugs onto like Nick Carter or something.
Trying to flog a doctor.
I think he played.
I
want to say he played a postman. It was just like a little bit of a callback, I suppose, to his acting days.
Right, okay. Jeffrey Wills on Twitter. This and Airwolf seem to be my obscure ones, and he's sent a picture here of Johnny Socco and his flying robot. I have got no idea what that is.
I have not heard of that. Let's have a quick look of the old... I have not even seen anything like that.
Looks a bit Doctor Who-ish.
Yeah, I was just going to say it looks very much like a Doctor Who style program. It's from the mid 60s, so yeah, looks a bit batty.
Mm.
Production company, the toy company, so it was definitely to sell toys.
Right, okay. Airwolf, though, Mags, that was awesome, wasn't it?
Do you know, I remember watching Airwolf, but I don't remember the plot. Or kind of like the storyline of it. I just remember it was like a fixture of like Sunday TV for us.
I remember when I was old enough to get like my first mobile phone, and you used to be able to type in on, you go to a certain bit of your phone. And this is going to blow, if any of their own children listening, first of all, go tell your parents what you're listening to. You should not be listening to this. And those parents should be ashamed of themselves. But if there are any children listening, this is going to blow your mind, because our phones back in the day didn't have access to millions of different ringtones or even being able to play a proper song. You'd have literally ring, ring or a series of beeps. Yep. And my one phone I had, you could type in your own series of beeps. So the buttons 1 through to 9 with the star and all that sort of stuff would be different sounding beeps depending on how long you press them for. And you'd be able to get these codes out of a magazine that would tell you what to type into your phone to make a certain song.
Mm-hmm.
And I typed it in, and it took me what felt like, you know, all afternoon. I typed in the code after paying whatever I had to pay to get it. For the theme tune to Airwolf on my phone, and it took me bloody ages, and it was I imagine in my head it was really expensive, but I can't remember. And it took ages to type it in, and I was so happy that when somebody rang me, it literally went and then just started over again.
And you wouldn't answer it because you wanted to listen to it.
Yeah.
Or you'd get your mates to ring my phone just to show off your new ringtone.
Yeah, and then your battery would die because the batteries are crap back then.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get a phone call for real because you just want to keep listening to your ringtone that you typed in.
And your screen was green.
Yeah. And you only had, like, on this BT Soundnet phone I had, you could only have 10 contacts. So if you made, like, an 11th friend, you were fucked.
Wow, that is going back in the day, Jesus.
You know, I literally have 10 contacts. That was mad.
My first phone was even pre-Snake days.
Why?
Mm-hmm. It didn't come with any games whatsoever.
See, I don't think that one did, that first BT one I had. It was huge, and it just kind of, the screen was like a calculator screen, just a little strip. The phone itself was just a big mass of plastic.
And then you had an aerial that it pulled out that was as long as the phone itself.
Yeah. 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 God, they were terrible, weren't they?
These young pups nowadays just don't know how easy they've got it.
Yeah, my daughter's been watching bloody TV on her phone this afternoon. They got no clue. At Carrie the Gary on Twitter. Another shout out for Ninja Turtles. He has Spider-Man and X-Men and Knight Rider and 60s Batman as well. I remember 60s Batman with the old wonky camera angles in the bad guy's lair.
And the thwack. Yeah. Twang. Kapow.
Yeah.
Yep. Brilliant. The definitive Batman for me.
And Jason and the Wheeled Warriors was his last.
Yes, I'm so glad that's got a shout out. This was brilliant. I used to love this show.
Thundering across the stars to save the universe from the monster minds. Jace searches for his father to unite the magic root and lead his lightning league to victory over the changing form of Saw Boss.
Absolutely fantastic, that was. Our good buddy Benny Mac at BENNY Mac on Twitter. Another shout out for Airwolf, and he sent us a lovely picture of them all wearing the overalls they used to wear. God, the 80s were a tough, tough time, weren't they? And that is effectively it for that, mate. Oh, hang on, no, sorry. I have one more here from Chris Mangle at Mangle Chris. At Mangle underscore Chris, sorry, on Twitter. Kissifer. Now, the name rings a bell, but I don't remember the show.
Yeah, Kissifer. I vaguely remember it. I couldn't tell you anything about it. But, yeah, I do remember that.
The Raccoons. I hated the Raccoons.
I loved the Raccoons. Snarl the Raccoon was absolutely amazing.
Oh, mate, I hated it so much. Masters of the Universe, and he says he had loads of the figures. And
how has it taken this long to get a He-Man and the Masters of the Universe shout out?
This is literally the last one, mate. This is the last one we've got. This
ridiculous. List from, that's a good shout.
This list from Mr. Mangle. This list from Chris Mangle, not Joe Mangle from Neighbours. That's a different Mr. Mangle. This from Chris Mangle on Twitter. You today are our favourite listener for bringing up He-Man.
Listener of the week.
Yeah, exactly. And I had the Castle Grayskull toy as well. And I had like this weird skeleton dude who, not Skeletor, I know that is, of course. This like, it was like a big skeleton dinosaur thing, and you'd fit the figures into the ribs. So like the ribs would click around the waist of the figures, and then all their weapons, their little swords and staffs and shields and whatnot, would go in its mouth. Can you remember that one, Max?
No, I don't. In the castle?
No, not in the castle. It was like another one that you'd get.
I think it was on He-Man?
Yeah.
I don't
know if it was on the program, but it was a toy you could get. Okay. Or if I just made this up.
No, I mean, they brought out some very loosely affiliated toys to the programs that they were on. But yeah, I don't remember that toy. I remember having a couple of He-Man figures. They had... The bloke who had different faces.
And you used to spin it around.
You used to turn the top, yeah, and he'd have like an angry face or an happy face, stuff like that. And obviously I had a He-Man and a Battle Cat as well.
Yeah, Battle Cat. Oh, man, that was such a good show. Such a good show. My little girl, when she was really little, went for a spell of watching all that back.
Oh, that's
And I was so happy that she was into it. And I watched two or three and I thought, I've got to go do something else. I can't watch any more of this. Because it's all like with anything, it's like it's never as good as you remember it, is it? You know? And the last one for today from Twitter, we have the Terrorhawks. Do you remember those?
Again, it's one that the name rings a bell. But let me just have a quick Google. The wrinkly faced baddies do ring a bell, but I couldn't tell you what the show is actually about.
Yeah, see the woman, this is going to be sound a bit mean, but I'm going to say it anyway. The woman who it was the bad in Terrorhawks. If anyone's listening to this show, right now when we finish or whatever, Google Terrorhawks, okay? Look at the image of the bad person, the bad guy. She's got quite a big nose and a pointy chin and black all around her eyes and big scary blonde hair and whatnot. I thought she was always the spitting image of the woman in EastEnders. Was it Shirley?
Oh, that is a shout.
Do you know what I mean? She was, yeah. Is she in Cell Block H as well?
Yeah, that is an absolute shout. Oh, wow. She does look like, she looks like a now.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I could remember that Shirley in EastEnders looked like a character from a kid's TV show. But I could never remember what TV show it was. And it was only like about, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago, maybe it popped in my head. But I've been talking to my wife about this character for God knows how long. And she looks like that thing out of that TV show. And my wife was just like, oh, shut up. You're getting on my nerves now. This went on for ages. And then completely at random, it popped in my head. And I ended up running downstairs into the front room and just shouting, Terrorhawks! At my wife, who I got no context at all about what I was thinking about or what was in my head. But yeah, it is, isn't it? She looks just like the thing out of Terrorhawks.
She does.
Aren't we great, eh? We're a lovely bunch. is there any you want to add to that there, Mags?
Yeah, and this actually, I'm quite disappointed with the listeners for not bringing up a few. So I'll mention Trapdoor.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you open that trapdoor.
Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives Burke.
Hello!
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Burke, feed me!
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
That was a good one. Very claymation-y in style. Then there was Mask. I don't know if you remember Mask.
Yeah, I had like the red car.
I had the black kind of like SUV. The side popped out, and I had the motorbike that turned into a helicopter.
Oh, that was amazing! I always wanted that motorbike. Oh, I'm well jealous now.
I had that. So then I can't believe there's been no love for Generation 1 of Transformers. That's arguably the best cartoon that's ever been created.
I think somebody might have said Transformers and I just didn't read it out, to be honest.
Yeah, that is one that a love for that show that I have passed down to my boys to the point where for one Christmas, Carlos, my youngest, he wanted a box set of all the Transformer Generation 1 episodes on DVD. So they didn't actually do them in the UK. You could get that where they'd have, like, you know, where you get parts of a box set, so you end up having to collect, like, say, 6 to 12 different parts. But to get them all in one box set, we actually got it from Japan, and it came, like, in a tin with, like, the original soundtrack on discs and a lot of artwork and loads of little goodies like that. It cost, like, about 250 quid, but it was well worth getting hold of.
That sounds awesome.
It absolutely is, and I think we've only watched through them, like, together once because it's one of those things where he'll, yeah, that's getting put away now because it's too nice to have
out. Yeah. And, I know what you mean.
And then the last one of my favourite shows, and it's one that I used to be able to go back and watch on YouTube, but unfortunately the douchebags that they are, the episodes have all been removed because of this stupid thing called copyright. Nightmare.
Oh, yeah, where they're walking through the computer-generated maze and stuff.
Yes.
That was amazing. That
show was brilliant. I love that show.
Oh, yeah.
I always wanted to go on it.
Yeah, and me. Mm. I mean, did you ever see anyone win it?
Yeah, there's been 8 winners in total. I think no one won till like the 3rd season. Then, like in the once it got to like the 4th season onwards, you used to get a few more winning it. They made it a little bit easier, introduced like more characters. But yeah, it was a brilliant show.
Yeah, that was great. Do you remember the computer game? Well, not computer game. The game Atmosphere.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know, it's not the same in any way, shape or form, but I kind of link Nightmare and Atmosphere together in my head quite a bit because it felt a similar sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, the only problem I ever had with Atmosphere was it felt rushed because you're obviously playing alongside a video and you basically had to be quick with your moves or you kind of had to pause the video, which kind of takes you out of it. But yeah, I get what you mean with like that kind of interactive kind of video style of game.
Yeah. Oh, Nightmare was amazing. I don't really think there's any that have been missed there for me, Mags. Real Ghostbusters and Turtles were massive for me when I was a kid.
I mean, we could go like Penny Crayon.
Oh, Raggy Dolls as well.
Raggy Dolls, Poddington Peas.
Poddington Peas, down in the bottom of the garden.
That's the one.
Yeah. Oh,
that was
why?
That was a banger.
Quantum Leap was always my favourite, and Doctor Who when I was a kid.
Quantum Leap was something that I was into for a little while, and then kind of like dropped off. But I don't think they ever did an ending for that, did they?
I'm gonna get proper geeky now. It was the end of season 5. They filmed an episode where they basically had a way of making Sam continue to leap, and there was going to be a follow-on in the next season for that, but it was also left in a way that, because it basically got cancelled, that they could just put a frame up at the end of the show saying Dr. Sam Beckett never returned home. So it's kind of left open with him still leaping around and stuff, but that last episode, oh man, that gets me right in the feels every time. Yeah. Oh yeah, because I loved it so much. I adored Quantum Leap, everything about it. It's one of my favorite programs of all time. And then when I finally got to see that last episode and you see Sam never got home and the build up all the way through that episode of would he go home or would he was basically allowed to leap to one particular place of his choosing, and he could go home or he could help Al get back with his first wife, and he chose to go and help Al, and it was just like all the build up, and then that frame comes up at the end of the black screen and it says Al never remarried. He and Beth ended up with 6 kids and they're still together now. And then it came up with more writing behind that saying Dr. Sam Beckett never returned home. So, oh man, I'm going to well up now.
Al, the selfish douchebag.
Oh, mate.
Another one kind of on the same vein that we didn't get a proper definitive ending. Dungeons and Dragons. I remember that being a really good show.
Dungeons and Dragons, yeah. I'll tell you what, I've missed a couple out reading through Twitter today, and if I've missed yours, I really do apologise, because I know somebody said Transformers, and I know somebody said Dungeons and Dragons, so I really do apologise to those people for missing their tweets. That's totally on me. But yeah, Dungeons and Dragons, yeah, they never managed to finish that, did they?
Yeah, that same kind of thing as Quantum Leap, where the show got cancelled before they filmed the final episode. And I remember watching a documentary with the creators, and they've got all the storyboards and how the last episode was going to pan out, but they were never able to kind of like animate it and put it out.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah,
and like I said, along with Quantum Leap, Doctor Who was a big one for me. I love Doctor Who even to this day, but back then Sylvester McCoy was a doctor when I was a kid.
Okay.
Up until, when did it stop? 89, I think. I can remember Peter Davidson, but I must have been very little. I'm talking like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Colin Baker was Doctor for a really short period, but I don't remember any of that. But Sylvester McCoy, I remember being the Doctor. And I had nightmares for God knows how long about the Cybermen, to the point where my mum, even now, back then in my late 30s, still finds it funny, and actually bought me a Cyberman action figure for Christmas one year, thinking she was like the funniest lady on the planet.
and she was absolutely correct in that assumption.
Yeah, I opened it up and it did make me laugh, and then I had to hide behind the sofa.
and actually, to link to that, I've got some, and it's not really a link, but I've got like Bluetooth headphones because obviously I listen to a lot of music and podcasts during the working day, and one pair lights up blue, like a blue ring in them, and one pair lights up red. So I've actually named them in my phone to distinguish between them, good Cyberman and evil Cyberman.
There's no such thing as a good Cyberman.
No, I don't know.
No, that's quite cool. shall we talk some wrestling, Mags?
I mean, we're an hour in. It's about bloody time, I think.
Hello, brother. This is NWA WCW Enhancement Talent Randy Hogan, baby. Being in the ring with the Road Warriors, Vader, Abdul the Butcher, Midnight Express and all them guys, let me tell you, it was dang rough. But not as rough as listening to Cyan Mags on that Chain Wrestling show, brother. What you gonna do when this pair of fools, Cyan Mags and Chain Wrestling, brother, runs wild on you?
This week we went to the Global Wrestling Federation and a show of theirs on the WWE Network that I'm guessing was associated with the USWA. It was all under that banner in Texas around that sort of time. Around that sort of time, wasn't it? I thought it was really, really nice that we weren't going to watch something from the WWE again, because I feel we've watched a lot of WWE, and obviously there's a lot of wrestling out there for the WWE, a lot of great stuff that we can enjoy, a lot of rubbish stuff we can laugh at, which again I suppose is the beauty of this show, Mags, isn't it? But I thought it was nice to be traveling somewhere that we haven't been before. I literally picked this match completely at random. It won the poll, and then when I came to watch it, I saw it was only 10 minutes long, and I was like, oh shit.
but you're absolutely right. I mean, it's fun when you're revisiting stuff that you've already seen, and you can kind of like recall the storyline behind it and how we got to that match. But it's also good to see something fresh and something that you have absolutely no context about, so you don't have any kind of like bias from how you remember the show. You don't have any kind of bias towards who was the good guys and the bad guys, stuff like that. You just can watch it as essentially as a new match that you've never seen before. That's kind of like the vibe I got from this pick.
Yeah, and that's the sort of thing I was looking for, really, something really quite obscure and like that. I think it's something that we'll go back to again, trying to maybe look every now and again at something a bit more unusual that people may not have seen. The match in question is the Tennessee Street Fight from the, was it May 9th, 1991 episode? May 6th, 1991 episode of Global Wrestling Federation on the WWE Network. To find this, you need to go to the Territories tab, click on that, and I think the Global tab is one of the very last ones on there. They haven't got many episodes, but scan through and you can find this episode and this match. We have Dr. Tom Pritchard, brother of Brother Love Bruce Pritchard, tagging with Stunning Steve Austin, and they are facing the team of Jeff Jarrett and Robert, the Tennessee Stud, Robert Fuller, who was also Colonel Robert Parker for a while in various different companies as well. And Tennessee Lee, I think he went on to be in the WWF as well.
He famously shit his pants in a War Games match.
Yes. Yeah. What a brilliant time to be alive. I'll be honest with you, Mags, even though it was only sort of 10 minutes, I kind of enjoyed this. Yeah, I ended up watching the whole episode, but their match itself were covering. I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was very rough around the edges. And I was actually a little bit confused when we went to this match, because obviously with the network, you can literally go to the beginning of each match with the links. But we actually end up in between the matches, almost like the match has already started and we're kind of like joining it late. So I thought, oh, something's gone wrong here. So I skipped back to the previous match, El Grande Pistolero versus Terry Daniels, to make sure I hadn't missed the beginning. So I watched that whole shower of shit.
That was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, It was god awful. I mean, Terry Daniels looked like he could have been a big star. I don't remember anything coming of him, so I assume he didn't. But yeah, then we essentially get like a little promo package from whoever the kind of analysts were, and we get thrown in halfway through a match essentially.
Yeah, Michael St. John was the host Michael of St. the John, show.
That's the guy.
Yeah, with his glorious mustache and fantastic delivery. Like I said, I ended up watching the whole episode of this Global Wrestling Federation show. And in one of the matches, he doesn't talk about what's on screen at all. He literally, they're plugging a match. They're talking about a match that happened the previous week at the Sportatorium between Jarrett and somebody else. And it was such a bloodbath, they're not allowed to show it on USWA television.
Yeah, he mentioned right? that a hell of a lot in the El Grande Pistolero versus Terry Daniels match.
Right, so he's spending a lot of his time in this very short show. I mean, it's obviously an hour long when they broadcast, but on the network, they're taking the adverts out. So you're looking at, 41, 42 minutes, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
He spends a great deal of his time talking about this match that they were not allowed to broadcast. So you won't see it.
Once in a lifetime match.
Yeah, well, you won't be seeing it. You won't be seeing it. But I'll tell you what, it was bloody great. Is the sort of thing he's doing.
Yeah.
And then he spends the other half of his time talking about a match that is also not going to be broadcast that they're filming next week at the Sportatorium, and they're not going to broadcast it because that's going to be too bloody and aggressive as well. Now I understand with the second match, he's thinking sell tickets, get people into the arena to actually watch the match. But when you talk about the match that's already happened that you're not going to air, and then you talk about the match that you're not going to air that's not happened yet, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you've got wrestling matches going on right in front of you.
Yeah.
It just baffled me.
The match you're talking about, it was Jeff Jarrett and Eric Embry, I want to say.
Yes, that's right.
And he's like, it was so brutal, we can't even show you 2 seconds of it on this TV. But just believe me, it was absolutely amazing. The best match you will ever see. I think it was for the USWA Southern Heavyweight title, and Jarrett lost his belt.
Yeah, that's right. And he was actually on that Eric Embry or whatever. He was in a tag match, I think, at the opening of this episode.
It was with the Boogeyman.
That's right, yeah, but not that Boogeyman, if anyone's thinking of
a different, a better Boogeyman. One that maybe didn't eat as many worms.
No, and he did, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it now in 2021. Well, I'd say Ninja, yeah, Max. Is it still banned from the whole Turtles thing back in the day? But
let's see what the censors say.
Yeah, okay, and the network will beep it, won't they? yeah, he played like a ninja character with a hockey mask and called himself the Boogeyman. But trust me, this match with Eric and Jeff Jarrett that was supposed to be the greatest match of all time, but you'll never get to see it because they won't allow them to air it and all this sort of stuff. It's the most hard-hitting, wonderful match ever. If you watch the match with this Eric Embry in the tag match in the opener, trust me, there is no way that guy was in a match that good. No way. I don't see that ever happening. something I picked up on in the match we had to watch for today's episode, Max, Jeff Jarrett looks great here, doesn't he? Obviously, he's younger than when you see him popping up in like the WWF and so on. But I think Jarrett looks amazing.
Yeah, he definitely had that kind of like blonde-haired, baby-faced look for him. One thing I noticed was Austin looked the same age as he did for the majority of his WCW and WWE run, obviously just with a little bit more hair.
Yeah. Yeah, and he looked huge, Austin. Obviously, the guys around him aren't giants, which I suppose helps with that. Jarrett's only, 6 foot-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
And the other guys aren't very big either. I think Tom Pritchard's even shorter than 6 foot, potentially.
I think in the match, Robert Fuller might have been the tallest. I think he was just a tad taller than Austin.
Yeah, but Austin looked like an absolute giant, a really broad-shouldered, just in comparison to the other guys around him, I guess. This is supposed to be a Tennessee street fight, but yet we're tagging in and out.
Yeah, well, those rules applied when it suited and then didn't apply when it suited. I don't think there was ever any kind of like punishment for for not tagging it out, because the ref was very lenient. One thing that really stood out to me before we even got to the action, though, was they liked denim. They really enjoyed wrestling in denim in Tennessee. Denim, cowboy boots, and I think Austin even had a pair of Reebok trainers on, so he looked like he'd literally just come from running laps.
This is because it was a street fight, though, wasn't it?
Ah, yeah, because you wear denim and cowboy boots in cowboy boots in the street. Yeah, I get it now.
With knee pads.
Silly me. Yeah, with knee pads, yeah. The knee pads were really weird, weren't they? On the outside of the jeans as well.
Yeah, and Austin, it looked like... Austin had, like, holes in the backs of his jeans. Mm-hmm. And it looked like he had, like, wrestling tights on underneath.
He definitely had wrestling tights on underneath, or Mrs. Austin has bought him some of the wackiest underwear known to mankind.
Perhaps that's what it is. The crowd cracked me up here as well, because there's a huge group of really enthusiastic ladies in the crowd. Mm-hmm. And they're all... But it's like... It's like old school wrestling crowds, I guess. They're all sat down. None of them are stood up, but they're all really behind Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
They think Jeff is the
and
guy.
They're all middle aged as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
And in fact, I'm sure there was at least one woman knitting whilst watching the wrestling. I'm positive I saw someone knitting. Yeah, this was a very old female crowd. But they added to the match, because they were really behind Jerry. We got a lot of like "Go Jeff, Go" chants all the way through the game. He was certainly the kind of living up to the Golden Boy name that he got. So yeah, I mean, they were a very Jarrett centric crowd.
Yeah, definitely. Go Jeff, go Jeff. Yeah. Oh, you kept hearing it over and over and over again. Yeah, yeah.
And now all you hear is "Fuck off, Jeff, fuck off."
Yeah, definitely. And that's just promoters. Austin breaks out a bear hug at one stage. That was interesting.
Mm. I thought Austin was actually, for me, he felt like the weakest actual wrestler in this match. And I know it was like when he was really cutting his teeth in wrestling, so it's totally understandable, but I felt that he was the weak link in this match. There were a few times when you could see that Dr. Tom was kind of guarding him and being the ring general for Austin, so kind of like showing him how to control the match, which when we see in his later career he became an expert at. But yeah, you could tell this was new and very green Austin.
Mm, yeah, definitely. Robert Fuller, I thought, looked good as well, to be fair, when he was in the ring. I've not really seen the guy wrestle before.
Yeah, he didn't get a lot of action. He played that kind of like that hot tag character really well. I mean, he got some action in the beginning with the boot, taking the boot off, and that was a fascination that happened a lot in this match. Like, I've never been in a fight where I felt, I'm going to take my boot off and jab the person in the air with the boot. I don't know how that's a thing. Surely it makes more sense to leave the boot on and maybe kick the person or stomp the person. I don't get taking the boot off to jab him with it. Yeah, that kind of didn't make sense. But yeah, Robert Fuller, that kind of like hot tag guy, he did really well. I think essentially they all played the roles pretty well. Jarrett was brilliant at the kind of facing peril. I thought he really did a good job. Dr. Tom was good as their team's kind of like powerhouse almost. It was an interesting match. It went a little bit kind of shenanigan-y for me, with the chains and the belts and stuff like that. But I still enjoyed the match.
See, I didn't get that chain bit. The commentators there going, "Jarrett's got a chain," and I was literally sat in the front room and my ass going, "Has he? Where?"
I think it was Dr. Tom that had the chain. He wrapped it around his hand.
Okay. Okay, right. I was like, where? Where's he got the chain? And where did he come from? Where did he get the chain from?
Who knows? The chains are us, I would assume.
Chains are us. He's got his own chain guy. He's got his own supplier.
From us. It came from us, chain wrestling.
Yeah, that's it. We are. That's a sideline there, isn't it? We should make our own little chains. Jeff Chin. Jarrett endorsed. You know, Jeff Jarrett endorsed chains to go along with the cream soda cologne and our egg sandwiches.
Ain't chains great?
Ain't chains? Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, there's not masses to sort of cover, I suppose, because the match is relatively short. I ended up, like I said, watching the whole show. This was, I think, the best match on the show. The rest of the show was pretty dire. But I did enjoy having that sort of 40 minutes going back, looking at a little independent territory in 91, seeing some of the guys there. And I always end up Googling people to find out what happened to them, whether they actually did anything in wrestling or they just sort of in and out and so on. So I enjoyed the little sort of nostalgia trip, I guess, Mags.
Yeah, same. I actually enjoyed the finish of this in the terms of it was a well-worked finish, because it really wasn't. It looked very botch-heavy, but the fact that they really tried to sell that this was a metal briefcase when the kind of giveaway was the fact that they didn't gaffer tape the bottom of it up so you could see the leather briefcase underneath the silver gaffer tape. but yeah, the finish was good. Everyone took a briefcase to the face, and then Jarrett and Fuller cover Austin for the win.
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone went home happy. All the ladies knitting. Definitely. Were all over the moon.
I wonder how many knitted their own Jeff Jarrett scarves.
Oh, man, I want a Jeff Jarrett scarf now.
I definitely don't. You can have mine.
What about a Jeff Jarrett scarf? Knitted. But the way the double J is written in chains. That would be so cool.
That would be cool.
That would be amazing.
For you to have.
Oh, man, we're on a merchandising roll. I could retire in the year. I suppose then, Max, the next thing is for us to rate this one out of 10, like we normally do. What are your thoughts, buddy?
Okay, well, I really enjoyed, like you said, going back on like a bit of a nostalgia trip, something that we've never watched before. We don't know the context of it. We have no kind of bias towards like our memories of it. Saying that, it was not the best of matches. We've seen a hell of a lot better, but we've also seen a hell of a lot worse. It was cool seeing these people before they really became huge superstars in wrestling. So that was fun. But I can't really go higher than maybe a 5.
Yeah, okay. I understand that. I've gone a touch higher myself. I've gone 5.5. I looked at previous scores and the notorious reinforced cloth straight jacket steel cage match that we had on episode 1. We both gave that a 5.
Mm-hmm.
I think I enjoyed this a little bit better than that. But then the Hogan...
You are wrong to say that.
Really? You enjoyed the straight jacket steel cage match as much as this?
Super power Scott Steiner ripping out of straight jackets. What is not to love?
Fair point, mate. Fair point. But I didn't enjoy it as much as the NWO versus Rock and Austin, which we gave a 6. So I think 5.5 is probably about right for me, my friend.
Seems fair.
Yeah, that's it. The next thing, obviously, is exactly that. The next thing is where we go next. Now, for this week, we decided, Mags and I, that it might be an idea to let you wonderful, glorious people out there in Twitterland who listen to the show and get involved to potentially put forward a few ideas as to where you might want to go links-wise from this match. We've got a handful here that guys and girls, well, guys mostly, I think we're very much a sausage fest when it comes to listeners. Aren't we? It's, if there are any ladies listening, I do apologise for that comment. I don't mean that in any way as disparaging to you.
You're desperate to be cancelled by this episode.
Maybe, mate, maybe. I won't get cancelled, man. I hate Brad Shepherd too much. I'm on a quest.
That is very true.
That's my saving grace, because he's a bell end. So, yeah, we had a few suggestions from you wonderful people out there as to where we can go next. And me and Mags thought that we'd have a little run through them. And between the two of us, we'd pick a third option from you listeners to go up against Mags and I's selection. Like I said, we've got a handful here. I'll run through them now, Mags, okay?
Go for it.
Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show. Clive said, how about Jeff Jarrett versus Kurt Angle, the battle for Karen. obviously using Jarrett himself as the link there. UTT Rob, also going down the TNA Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett route. Jeff and Karen Jarrett versus Kurt Angle and China at TNA Sacrifice 2011. I don't think I've ever seen that. And I'm not going to lie, the idea of watching Karen Jarrett wrestle at all and China wrestle in 2011 doesn't appeal.
I have to agree with you.
We got a couple here from Millwall Chris. We have this match appears to be some sort of street fight. How about moving to the Starrcade 90 street fight between Dean and Anderson and Wyndham? Still holds up as one of the best street fights ever. Now, I like the sound of that because... Yeah. Late 80s, early 90s, WCW is right up my street, mate.
So they've got potential.
Another from Millwall Chris. As this match features a doctor, we're obviously with Dr. Tom Pritchard, how about we follow this up with Dr. Isaac Yankum, SummerSlam match against Bret Hart. And I know that you said that you'd be up for that, but you wouldn't be able to sway me, Mags.
I mean, that sounds like the best option so far for me.
Okay. And then our good buddy Dan Griffin. This match features Steve Austin in a tag team. Therefore, I'd be led to his time in the Hollywood Blondes. I'd then be led to Clash of the Champions 23, the 16th of June 1993, he says here, where the Hollywood Blondes defended the WCW stroke NWA tag titles against Ric Flair and Arn Anderson in a 2-3 falls match. Now, I've not long ago rewatched this, and that is a very good match. And again, early 90s, WCW is right up my street. However,
another great pick.
Yeah. And the only thing that would go against that match for me is it kind of has a bit of a schmozzy non-finish to the 2-3 falls match, which kind of makes me want to eliminate that one, Mags, if that's okay with you.
That's your prerogative. Kind of like spoiled it for me because I didn't know the finish. So cheers for that, 30 years on. Spoilers.
You can't be calling spoiler alert on something that happened in 1990 fucking three. It's a 2-3 falls match. I think it goes 2 straight falls as well. That might be wrong though. I'm not sure. But it is a really, really good match. Don't get me wrong. It is really, really good. The Hollywood Blondes were fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
The one I think that appeals to me, well, I don't know. I like the idea of seeing Doom up against Arn Anderson and Barry Windham, because again, that's right up my street. That's the sort of era and company I love. I don't know. What are you thinking, Mags?
I'm thinking either that one or the Isaac Yankum one.
Okay. We've just had a tag match that was a street fight. So I suppose if we go with Starrcade 90, it's another tag match that is a street fight. So shall we go with Isaac Yankum against Bret Hart as something slightly different to the street fight?
Let's do it.
Okay,
I did say Wrestling Twitter would send us some horrific picks, and that's not a good match, but if it wins, we'll certainly go through the torment of watching it.
Why are you suggesting it if it's not a good match, you knob?
Because I have to screw you over, and in that I have to also screw myself over. So it's one of those kind of things where you have to take a bullet.
Yeah, we could watch Arn Anderson and Barry Windham from 19.
Put that forward. I'd be happy enough to watch that. we'll go with the Barry Windham.
No, it's all right. It's been decided now. Let's watch Dr. Isaac Yankum.
Okay. Well, it might not win yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It will win.
It probably will, yeah. We're getting stitched up. That's the that will be our third option on the poll then. Well done, Chris at Millwall Chris on Twitter, the first person besides Mags and I to actually have an option on the chain wrestling poll. You lucky, lucky fella. You're
history
one of the
maker.
History maker. He's one of the cool kids like us.
He is.
He can have a knitted Jeff Jarrett scarf. We will now put forward our choices. Mags, do you want to go first or second, my friend?
As always, I'll go first. Lay the groundwork. Now, this is the most tenuous of links that I remember doing, but I wanted to give a bit of love to my fallen comrade in Badlands, Paul Toller. I've spent the best part of 2 years giving him abuse for being a Charlotte Flair fan. So I think it's only fair if I repay that and we watch a Charlotte Flair match. So I had to find a way of linking a Charlotte Flair match to this match. And it was a bit of a struggle because obviously there are two totally different eras of wrestling, two totally different styles, but I've got there. So the way I've got there is the fact that Dr. Tom Pritchard is part of a wrestling family with his brother Bruce being involved in wrestling, and Charlotte Flair is part of a wrestling family with Pops being one of the greatest wrestlers ever to enter the squared circle. So the very, very tenuous link is that both matches have a member of a wrestling family in them. So the match I've gone for is, I think it's Charlotte's highest rated match according to He Who Must Not Be Ever Questioned, Shagga Dave Meltzer.
Shagga Dave.
It's from WWE's Evolution pay-per-view from late 2018, and it's the last woman standing match between Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Ooh, that is a great choice. Okay, just making a quick note of that. So Charlotte versus Becky at Evolution, yep.
Correct.
Okay. Ooh, that sounds good as well, doesn't it? We could see a dentist or we could see last woman standing so far. Excellent stuff.
Ironic that Charlotte's actually out because apparently she's having dental work. Maybe Isaac Yankum's doing the dental work, you never know.
Oh, look at that. It just links all over the place, mate, doesn't it? This show
chains
was right
on
to
chains.
Itself.
Chains
on chains on chains. Absolutely bloody wonderful. Right, okay. Where I would like to go then, Magsy, my friend. Jeff Jarrett is going to be part of my link here. He wrestled against Sting, quite famously headlining a Bound for Glory pay-per-view in 2006 for Impact in a title versus career match. I think that's probably, considering there was a world title and a career on the line, I think that was probably one of the biggest matches between Jarrett and Sting. They obviously met a couple of times in WCW as well, but potentially that, even though it's in TNA, potentially that's a bigger match because of the stipulations. I'm not sure. Either way, Sting has been around for a long, long time, wrestling for various different companies, but mainly spending his time in the NWA, WCW, and that side over there. When he first started out, though, he was not with that company. He was actually in a tag team.
Yes,
Can you remember his tag team partner?
Get fucked.
His partner was also part of another big tag team. His partner joined Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam 91 to form a tag team. And that tag partner of Sting's was the Ultimate Warrior. And he helped Hulk Hogan save the world in 1991 from Sergeant Slaughter and the evil Iraqi sympathizers. Isn't that glorious?
I mean, I hate every word of that you said, but I have to give you props for coming up with that link.
We're not doing it, though. We're going to go somewhere else, mate. We're going to go somewhere else. But it does actually involve Sting. It does involve Sting. And I'm going to use somebody I don't think either of us have ever used in a link before in all 20-plus episodes we have done. And that is Robert Fuller. He a couple of years after this, 1991 is the match we just watched. A couple of years after this, he joined WCW. And in 1993, he was working in WCW as Colonel Robert Parker. He was managing Big Sid, or Psycho Sid, Sid Vicious, Sid Justice in the WWF. Sid was teaming up at the time with Vader and Vader's manager, Harley Race. And they were entering in a really odd, obscure, strange feud with Sting and the British Bulldog, who the Bulldog basically had literally enough time for a cup of coffee in WCW. He was there and gone over the course of a few months in 93. But they headlined a pay-per-view. They headlined Beach Blast 93. The only pay-per-view, I think, that went by the Beach Blast name. I think after that it was changed to Bash at the Beach, potentially. But the match I'd like to go to, using Robert Fuller, or Colonel Robert Parker, as he was known a couple years later, as Sid's manager, would be to have a little look back at some proper cheesy early 90s WCW. Sid and Vader versus Sting and Bulldog from Beach Blast 93. And also included in that Beach Blast 93 pay-per-view, and part of the build-up for this match, is the wonderful mini-movie WCW made, which involved midgets, fake sharks, Bulldog rescuing Sting from a boat after Sid and Vader had plotted to put a bomb on it. All sorts of real daft, cheesy, early 90s Baywatch nonsense. And Sting and Bulldog vowing to get their revenge, not by calling the police for them trying to kill them with a bomb, but no, beating them at Beach Blast. So that would be my option, Magsy mate.
It sounds like a great option. I think it was the second, actually, Beach Blast. I think there was one the year before as well.
With Rude and Steamboat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great match. Oh, bugger, I could have gone one further and done Rude Steamboat.
I mean, you could have stuck with the Austin Linker, because on this very card, you've got the Hollywood Blondes taking on the Four Horsemen of Paul Roma and Arn Anderson.
That's not the... If Paul Roma's involved, it's not the Four Horsemen. I'm not having that.
the much maligned Paul Roma.
Yeah, that show Beach Blast 93. You look down it. It's quite a good show. It's got some really good stuff there.
There's some really good matches.
Yeah, but I just want to get everyone to have a little watch of the movie with the midgets and the sharks and stuff. Basically. I thought we were going to have a giggle at that. So
three very good and very different picks for the listeners to choose from.
Very much so. We'll have a quick run through, a quick count back through them. We have Mags's selection of Charlotte versus Becky Lynch, Last Woman Standing, from the Evolution pay-per-view. What was that, Mags? 2018, did you say it was? Yep.
October 2018, yeah.
Yeah, so Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch in a Last Woman Standing match there. We have the listener's option this week, selected by Millwall Chris. I mean, I'm not saying that the listener's option is going to be a regular thing. It's just something we thought we'd try out, because we're feeling generous, Mags, weren't we?
We were.
And we've now got Isaac Yankum versus Bret Hart. So that generosity may very, very quickly withdrawn.
Yeah, you've pissed on your own chips.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Correct.
Isaac Yankum versus Bret Hart from SummerSlam 1995. Or finally, we have Sid and Vader, the Masters of the Powerbomb, as they were called, versus Sting and the Bulldog from Beach Blast 1993, midgets, bombs, boats, and all. Yeah, so that's it. I think three very different, very unique, and could be great fun options to look through, Mags.
Certainly are.
Before we depart then, my friend, do you want to let everyone know whereabouts they can find you on the old Tinternet?
Okay, well, you can find me currently drowning my post Badlands sorrows with my new connoisseur whisker at DJ Kirby.
I can imagine, actually, now you sat there mopey, taking pictures, you know, black and white, because it's like, you know, moody, sort of sultry image of you with the whisky. And up it goes on buffburnleyblokes.com or wherever. And whilst we've been talking, I did Google that, and there's no such site, so.
Not yet, there isn't.
Not Link. Yet, not yet. Sponsored by Chain Wrestling and Knitted Scarves. you can follow the show at Chain_Wrestling on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter is your best option, though, because that is where the poll will go up somewhere between an hour and a day after this episode is released. Get involved there with voting for your options for the first time, one of three choices, deciding whereabouts you want to go. Let us know your thoughts on the show, any ideas where you'd like to link to next, and ideas for future non-wrestling topics. And obviously you can get involved with each week's non-wrestling topic as well as voting in the polls. That's Chain_Wrestling. You can find me at SJP Words, and I'm off now to save Albert Square from Shirley and the Terrorhawks, so I must rush. I will speak to you next week, Magsy, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Ta-da.
Terrorhawks.